Okay, today, right now on VFN TV, Obama visits the first U.S. mosque, allegedly having links to terrorism. The world's most persecuted minority are Christians. We're talking about that. Congressman Prager, that Congress now has a scorecard for how they're treating religious.
You said Prager,
Pittenger. Oh yeah, Pittenger is having. Congress now has a scorecard called the Wilberforce. We'll be talking about, and. Yes, I'm talking about Wilberforce. Supercatafragilisticexpialidocious. Sally sells seashells by the seashore for 66 cents. And red leather, yellow leather. I'm ready. I'm waiting on Pat. When are you ready? I'm ready. Yes, I'm ready. I'm ready.
This is the 20 seconds.
You're doing it. You're about to do 20 seconds.
Okay. Yes, thank you.
You're about to do 20 seconds.
Yes. Intro? Yes.
And then you're going to be welcoming.
After the break. Okay. Thank you. That was huge, man. Pick up the $100 bill on the way out. Okay. Let's go.
I never got $100.
You never even told me. You don't even ever told me that.
I'm mad at you all the time.
Yeah, John's holding in his wallet. You can pick up from him. Okay. All right. Let's do it.
All right. Here we go. Final set. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Right now on VFN TV, President Barack Obama is going to the first U.S. mosque. Allegedly, has ties and links to terrorism. In addition, we'll be talking about the most persecuted minority in the world right now. And it's Christians, and it's actually radical Islam that's doing that. And we're going to be talking about a scorecard. Congressman Pittenger is going to be talking about a scorecard that's given to Congress now, how they're actually dealing with religious freedoms, how they're voting on it. They're calling it Wilberforce. And we'll be even talking about Wilberforce, about what he did and the awesome things that that really stands for right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
This is what I saw this morning. The United Apostates of America. Boy, when I saw that, my heart dropped. But it really said it for me that America has become, by and large, apostate now.
We already know the news. We're trying to change that news.
You have to be blind not to know that America's in real trouble.
You know, we're at that moment in time, and what are we going to do with it? Understand this. If God's on your side, you're on the majority side. No matter if the whole world is against you.
You were born under an appeal to me. And when there was no way, I made a way. And no matter how bad it looks today, how big the giants look, if you'll call on everlasting God and you'll tap into that covenant, you'll take out these giants.
Lord, you said that the seat of the righteous will rise and the seat of evil will come down. And we just declare those words over the Gulf Coast, God, and we pray, Lord, that we would dedicate this city to you.
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
May I say just a word to those of you who are struggling against this evil? Let me say to you to always struggle against it with Christian methods.
How many times have you screamed and yelled at your TV because of secular media was saying things you know wasn't true, some sort of political persuasion? They were given 5-second blurb to a miracle of God, and you got upset with it. But you go back to it again and again and again. What can you do? This is an answer.
Lord, raise up mighty men and women. Raise up young people. Raise up voices, not echoes. Voices that can cut through and make politicians and judges shake in their boots. Raise up prophetesses. Put a sure word in their mouth. Let it hit the news channels. Let America know God is not through with America. Revival! Revival!
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. as always, we're just so honored that you've joined us in our audience, and we hope that we're going to encourage you and give you a biblical perspective of what's really going on, not just news coming at you like a big washing water river coming your way, you're just trying to deal with it, but God gives us a light perspective, a biblical perspective of that. And this is a very big thing we're about to talk about, that the President of the United States, a country that was built and established on Judeo-Christian values, and it's everywhere that you can see it. We've been talking about that under original intent. Our president today, reportedly, according to CBN, is going to a U.S. mosque that allegedly has links to terrorism. As a matter of fact, take a look.
President Obama is scheduled to visit a U.S. mosque today. The move comes as Muslim Americans say they're facing increasing levels of bias and harassment. White House officials say the president will deliver a message similar to his address at the Israeli embassy last week, but some critics are sounding the alarm about the visit. One group, the Investigative Project on Terrorism, reports this mosque has a long history of ties to terrorism. This is the first time in his presidency that Obama is visiting a U.S. mosque.
You know, when you look at the context of what's going on, it's not, you know, it wouldn't be a big deal to be visiting an American anywhere and what they're doing, but the very fact that the enemy of terror, of the world population, the Christian population, the Jewish population, is a faction and a part of Islam, and they say it's about 7 or 10%. That's like 300 million Muslims as part of that whole 1.3 billion count of Muslims that are radical, that are hurting and harming and beheading and doing wild and crazy, hateful things. And here, this is not a time to go visit a mosque. I mean, even look here, this is Prager University talking about how Christians are the biggest and the most persecuted people and minority on the face of the earth. Now listen to this in detail. At the same time, our president is going to a mosque that allegedly has links to terrorism right here in our own country. Let's take a look.
Which is the most persecuted religious group in the world today? The answer, in terms of sheer numbers and sheer horror, might surprise you. It's Christians, specifically Christians living in Muslim-majority countries, countries where Christians often preceded Muslims by centuries. I'm not talking about war on Christmas-type harassment. I'm talking about know your place or we're going to kill you persecution. Astonishingly, the Western mainstream media barely acknowledge what is happening. Let's look closer at this issue. It tells us a lot about the world we're living in. 100 years ago, 20% of North Africa and the Middle East, the birthplace of Christianity, was Christian. Today, Christians make up 4% of the population. Much of that decline has occurred in the last decade. In essence, Muslims are rendering North Africa and the Middle East free of Christians. Take Egypt, for example, my ancestral homeland. In just the past 2 years, tens of thousands of Christian Copts have left Egypt. And many others want to leave, but they simply cannot afford to. Why they want to leave is no mystery. On New Year's Day, 2011, the Two Saints Church in Alexandria was bombed, leaving 23 Copts dead and 97 injured. In recent years, dozens of Coptic churches have been attacked, many burned to the ground. In August 2013 alone, the Muslim Brotherhood and its supporters attacked and destroyed some 80 churches. Unfortunately, Egypt is more the rule than the exception. Hundreds of Nigerian churches have been destroyed in recent years, with especially deadly attacks reserved for Christmas and Easter church services, leaving dozens dead or mutilated. Churches have been bombed or burned in Iraq, Syria, and just about every place in the Middle East where churches still exist, except Israel. Christian businesses have been torched, Christian girls have been kidnapped, sold as child brides or slaves, and had acid thrown in their faces for not being veiled. Anyone born a Muslim who converts to Christianity faces jail and possibly execution. The list of fresh atrocities by Muslims against Christians grows longer almost every day. Even in Muslim countries often portrayed as moderate, Morocco, Indonesia, Malaysia, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Christian minorities are under legal pressure not to build churches or evangelize. The Christians in these Muslim countries are often identical to their co-citizens in race, ethnicity, national identity, culture, and language. There is no political dispute between the Christians and Muslims, no land dispute. Vastly outnumbered and politically marginalized, these Christians simply wish to worship in peace. Instead, they are hounded and attacked. So then, why is this happening? And why is the media making so little mention of it? The first question is easy to answer. Christians are being persecuted in Muslim countries because they're Christians, or as the Quran puts it, infidels. That is, non-Muslims who are regarded by many fundamentalist Muslims as inferior. As a fundamentalist interpretation of the holy books of Islam has grown in the last 50 or so years, Christians have suffered, and in recent years they have suffered terribly. I document this in my book, Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians. If this were happening to any other group besides Christians, it would be the human rights tragedy of our time. There would be loud worldwide calls for action. But the silence in the mainstream Western media is, as they say, almost deafening. Why? Because Muslim persecution of Christians throws a wrench in the media's narrative that Muslim violence is a product of Muslim grievance. That grievance is, first and foremost, portrayed as the sin of European colonialism and alleged American imperialism. In the Muslim world's mind, those two sins are personified by the Jewish state of Israel, a nation the Muslim world believes was forced upon it by the colonial powers of Europe following World War II and is currently supported by the United States. Much of the Western world and the Western media have largely bought at least some of this narrative. Here's how it works. Because Israel, with the backing of the United States, is stronger than its Muslim neighbors, the media, while not defending Islamic terrorism, often portray terror against Israel, America, and even Europe as the actions of understandably angry underdogs fighting for what they deem justice. But what happens to this media narrative when Islamic terror is directed against a minority weaker than them? In this case, the millions of indigenous Christians throughout the Islamic world. The answer is that, rather than abandon this narrative, the media just don't report Muslim persecution of Christians, except for the most sensational cases. That's why you probably don't know that there are barely any Christians living in Algeria, Tunisia, and Libya, nations where Christianity once thrived, or that this is happening in Egypt, Iraq, Iran, and even Lebanon. So yes, Christians are indeed the most persecuted religious group in the world today. But reporting it would violate the media's narrative of Christians as persecutors and Muslims as victims. I'm Raymond Ibrahim, author of the Al-Qaeda Reader for Prager University.
Think about that in the context of our president, with this reality of the persecuted Christians around the world being persecuted by Islam, and to say that would affect the media's narrative. And he goes into allegedly a mosque in America that's allegedly linked to terrorism. It's like, what are we doing? We're feeding the narrative of Islam more than the helping out with the persecuted church. As a matter of fact, when we get back from this break, you know, what we do in America, we have representative government. We're not a democratic government. We're a democracy where you actually find people who live in your community. They go out and ask you for your vote. You vote for them. Then they go to Washington, D.C. to represent you, and they vote. And they determine the direction of this country is laws, how we deal with Christians, how we deal with foreign persecution, how we deal with Israel. It's representative government. But right now, there's no report card for these guys. We don't even know, ladies and men, we don't even know how they're, obviously, if 100% of our leaders in Washington, D.C. were against the persecution of Israel and Jews and Christians around the world, we would be up in arms everywhere and building up our military. Instead, it's the total opposite. But guess what? When we get back from this break, you're going to find out about a report card system that you can go online now and find out how all the Congress is doing in regards to laws about religious freedom. Is really, really exciting, including Wilberforce and what he did and how they actually tied that together with this report card. Make sure you join us after the break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Need a new garage door? Current garage door broken? Then look no further than the professionals at Precision Garage Door Service. Call today. We're open 24 hours, 7 days a week, and schedule an appointment with one of our skilled, professional, and courteous technicians. It is our pleasure to serve all of your garage door needs. Whether residential or commercial, make Precision Garage Door Service your first choice. Penton House Barbershop, where a man can be a man. Whether you're coming in for a haircut, a classic shave, or a relaxing massage, schedule your next appointment today. Take a load off, sit back and relax, and allow us to cater to you. We're expecting you, and you'll be glad that you did. Located in Pace, Florida, Penton House Barbershop, where you come first.
With the rising cost of everything nowadays, AllPro Tune-Up guarantees you quality repairs at a fair price. We promise to be upfront and honest with every estimate we provide. We service domestic and foreign-built cars, light trucks, and SUVs, and are experienced with diesel, gas, and hybrid models. Our technicians utilize the latest in diagnostic testing and techniques, making our services second to none. We want to earn your business and keep your trust. All Pro Tune-Up, automotive repair you can count on.
Ears to Hear Hearing Center, three locations to better serve you. What do you do?
At Ears to Hear, we improve the quality of life of the hearing impaired and their families by testing, fitting, and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Let me give you a personal invitation to come by and see us and let us improve your quality of life today.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Well, my goodness, you know, you think about it, John, that here are so many people blaming Washington for the problems. And there's 300 some odd million people in America, and there's only like 530 elected officials in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that not crazy?
Crazy.
I mean, how could 300 something million people be blaming where we are as a country on 530 people? That's like, it's almost like looking for an excuse. It's like, but the question is how do those people get, how does that 530, who are those 530 people?
Mm-hmm.
That's people that we elect. We vote to send them there, or we just choose not to vote and somebody else chooses to send them there. Not to vote is to vote.
We tend to forget that these people we elect come from amongst us. They're part of our communities. They're part of our
They represent
cities.
Us, right?
They represent us.
That's why it's called a representative form of government. Mm-hmm. It is a republic. You know, we're not a democratic government, but we're a democracy, which we select people from our own community to go represent us. And so you need to know if they're representing right.
Right.
Are they representing you right? And how do you do that? Well, we have to find out what they're doing. And thank the Lord for Congressman Pittenger of North Carolina. He and others have gotten together and put a report card together. As a matter of fact, I want you to take a look at this, and we'll talk more about it after this. Take a look.
If there's a vote on that issue, everyone ought to know about it. If there's a vote on the genocide resolution, which I hope there is soon, everyone ought to know how their member of Congress have voted on that issue. So that's really the purpose of it, as an encourager. We know what ISIS is doing. So will the Congress, will the administration, will the world miss it here?
So you're looking at, obviously, that wasn't Pittenger, but this is Wolf talking about it. But Pittenger's put this together. It's called Wilberforce.
And this is a report card, is that right?
Yeah, it's actually a report card, and it's so exciting to be able to see this. I mean, you're probably seeing Wilberforce coming up. Can you put up 1808, I guess it's 1794? That you're seeing that. Think about this. This is so very, very important because you can go there now, and the website is 21wilberforce.org, and it's the 21st century. Saying, you know, we need 21st century Wilberforce is going to be able to reveal the votes that are going on, and because they're representing you, if they're representing you, I mean, imagine this, you're a representative. Imagine if they were voting against Israel, and you just assume they weren't. We assume a lot of things.
Yeah,
you know,
and I think this is because a lot of the Congress is, you know, they're saying they have tough stance against religious persecution and all these different things, but their record may not necessarily reflect what their rhetoric is coming out. So
right.
Now it's just reporting back to the people and letting them know.
Right. So what you do is you actually, all you gotta do is go to that website, and we'll make it available to you at vfntv.com on the torch. But you just go there, find out who your congressperson is, and find out how they're voting. Do they even care about, you know, a pastor that's locked down? As a matter of fact, today the news is China has put in jail the pastor and his wife of the largest Christian church in China. But you're not hearing anything about it. As a matter of fact, you're hearing more things about our leaders and representatives saying, let's do business with China. You know, they're coming into the modern age. Let's merge our currencies.
Economy. What's going to happen when there is no... What are they going to do?
Right. As a matter of fact, but who was Wilberforce? This is so important because Wilberforce was a man, just like we are, anybody else is. This just was saved and touched by God. It's like, this is not... Slavery was going on, plus a lot of other things, debauchery and everything that's going on. And he was just like, this is not right. And he began to stand for righteousness in government. So that'd be like your representatives, our representatives saying, you know what? I don't care what everybody else is doing. This is the right thing to do. And it shaked the world. As a matter of fact, Eric Metaxas is talking a little bit about him, Wilberforce. Listen to what he has to say about him.
Well, Wilberforce is different and similar, of course. Wilberforce was somebody who, because of his conversion, immediately was alive to the societal evil, to injustice, to all these things. Now, think about it. You have a quote-unquote Christian culture. People go to church, but they were Sunday morning Christians. They were, I think the Greek word is hypocrites, right? They go to church, they go through the motions, and they say, okay, I'm a Christian because I'm not a Muslim, I'm not an atheist, so I guess I'm a Christian. Well, no, you're not a Christian because you've got to die to self. You've got to live for God totally to be a Christian. And most of the people alive at that time who were going to church were had no issue with the injustice all around them. The number one social evil was the slave trade. They just thought, well, it's just one of those things, and, you know, it's just the way things are.
Part of the system.
But there was an infinity of social evils all around them, from child labor to public animal cruelty, torturing animals for spectacle. There was rampant alcoholism. You can't even believe it. I mean, anybody who's read my book, Amazing Grace, knows that it's just staggering how broken the culture was because the gospel was not in that culture. They were just nominally Christian. Wilberforce comes in, has this profound conversion experience, and he's a powerful politician, and suddenly he sees that God has called him to do something about the slave trade and all of these other things. And so he brings his Christian worldview into politics and uses his influence to be salt and light in this culture. And over the course of a number of decades, practically single-handedly transforms the British Empire. It's one of those stories that if it weren't true and if it weren't obvious from history, you'd say it's not possible. But one person genuinely changes.
That's so important to understand. Wilberforce.
Great movie came out called Amazing Grace.
A movie about his life. Yeah,
it really explains this whole thing. And
I think it's based
job.
On Metaxas' book.
Did he really?
Did the biography on him.
Wow, amazing.
And it wasn't just slavery. It was the environment that produced slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And
all happening in Great Britain started there first, yeah. And just the ripple effect was just absolutely amazing. But one man.
Yeah. One man, and it just, yeah, the ripple effect went across the whole world.
Mm.
But it's one man standing up for what's right.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And so today, I mean, you know, what America's crying out for is leaders who will just stand up for what's right. You know, too many people are sticking their finger in the air just trying to figure out what the political win is. But, you know, what if you just have to switch jobs because you do what was right at your present job but got fired for it, but at least the company's going in the right direction.
That's right.
What if you just did what's right in one term in Congress? And then you went back to your other job,
mm-hmm.
and not worry about being reelected in the context of it. So many people are worried about, you know, being reelected instead of just doing what's right, you know, having integrity to be able to do what's right in the context of that. So Wilberforce did that. And what's so exciting about that is that you determine who your representatives are going to be. I mean, and it's so easy today to get educated on who's asking to represent you.
Mm.
I mean, you don't have to just accept their little brochure with four little bullet points on it and a vision statement. I mean, you can call them up. You can email them. You can pull up their websites. You can watch all kinds of video now they have available.
With today's technology, there's no reason why you can't be in communication with them. And they will reply.
Right.
Their office will reply.
And even though quite often politics is slanted, you know, it is good to listen to all sides because it causes you to begin to think outside of the box.
Mm-hmm.
So many people have tunnel vision and they're focused on this one particular person. And you could have blinders on and not realizing I need to talk to this representative and say, you know, the one wants to represent me. You need to think about this because you haven't even talked about this. And this is something that you're going to be able to do. And also, too, I think that, you know, they villainize this whole narrative now is out that if somebody votes differently than you, then you're an enemy. You know what I'm saying? Excuse me. That don't buy into that. You know, just you have the right to vote. In other nations, what happened was they would actually go to war and they would determine who's the leader is. So if somebody's talking bad about you because you want to stand up for someone, that's not war.
Right.
That's just feelings being hurt or maybe a friendship being broken because they don't understand America.
Mm-hmm.
But they fought wars for changing leadership in America. We just have to stand up for what we believe in. And if the church just stood up for what we believed in, if we read scripture, abided with the Lord, and then determined where we wanted to go with this thing and read the Constitution and where we want to go with this thing, I mean, all we have to do is vote that way. It would change everything. It would change everything. And even at the fact that if in fact we've sinned, remember, we serve a Savior who will forgive us. I mean, just because you've sinned doesn't mean you need to go throw America away and say, you know, I've sinned, I can't vote a righteous vote. And it's like, yes, you can. You can. God accepts forgiveness. He forgives us. He covers us in his blood. And it's not about us being perfect. God's perfect. And if we just humble ourselves before him, as a matter of fact, I think about this. I think about Franklin Graham, who's going around all 50 states, all 50 states, and he's reminding us, all the capitals, and he's reminding us, I'm a humble man, just very humble man, but he's reminding us to humble ourselves, to change our homes and our personal life and repent and not just try to think it's a political answer, but then to go out and get yourself educated and vote. As a matter of fact, listen to Franklin Graham now. It's called Decision America. Take a look.
Our country is in trouble. Many people look to capitals like this, whether it's Washington, whether it's state level, they are looking for answers to the problems that they have in life. But I can tell you right now, without God, there's no hope. I'm traveling to all 50 states to hold prayer rallies, calling our nation to God. We're calling it the Decision America Tour. We're asking Christians to pray, to vote for candidates that stand for biblical values and engage in your community. I'll challenge Christians to live out their faith at home, in public, and at the ballot box. I believe this next election may be the most important election maybe in the history of our nation. And we can have an impact on this. We're not supporting any candidates, we're not supporting any party, but we want to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. I want people to come to Capitol steps like this where we're going to pray. And I'm going to preach a gospel message, and I'm going to encourage Christians to stand up and let their voice be heard. So please, get involved in the Decision America Tour. Go to DecisionAmericaTour.com for dates and rallies.
We're so excited about this offer we have available for our VFN TV partners. For your partnership for any amount whatsoever, we have this offer. We'll send to you DVD or online where you can watch it. It's called One Thing in 2016. Offer 2001 is learning the keys to success, prosperity, and peace no matter what or who may come your way. This is so important to be able to keep your peace and focus on the Lord, just like David did. When all these things were happening against King David, he was just doing his job, but an entire government was coming against him led by Saul. Guess what he did? He focused on the one thing. This is an encouraging word. We have it for you for any gift whatsoever. Just go to VFNTV.com, upper right-hand corner, click on partnering, or you can actually call 844-408-3688 or write to VFNTV at 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. One thing in 2016. God bless.
Thank you for watching VFNTV.
This is VFNTV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
The $50 Eye Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, two locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 Eye Guy.
$50 Eye Guy.
Can you hire or fire on religious practices? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My son went to a super center, told me he was going to put his application in for a job, and that he couldn't work Sundays. The gentleman told him that he had no position in the store for him to work if he could not work on Sundays.
Well, it depends if it's a bona fide occupational qualification, if there's other reasonable accommodation. And Walmart has been generally very good at these things. So we need to find out the exact specifics of what the opening was. Was it a Sunday-only opening? But generally under Title VII, they're supposed to make a reasonable accommodation. They certainly can't hire or fire based on religious practice. That would be a violation of the rules. But again, Walmart generally very receptive to meeting the religious accommodation needs of its employees. Hang on the line. We'll get you in touch with some of our lawyers here and see if we can get you some help.
Do you have questions about your religious liberties? Get straight answers from ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
And we want to encourage you today. Listen,
that's right.
The Lord is a faithful Father. He is hope and love himself. He's compassionate. He's gracious. He's full of mercy. Mm-hmm. And although he is sharing with us and letting us know that, listen, judgment is upon us, if we repent, if we cry out to him, if we seek him and humble our ways and acknowledge, Lord, we have sinned before you, things can turn.
Mm-hmm.
Things can turn. Things don't have to happen. And that is our desire, and that is our hope.
Right, and that's why it's so important to partner with us, so we can continue to be that trumpet.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Partner. We have all different ways how you can do that just by going to VFNTV.com. We have worked very hard to try to put things together in a way that you can easily find it. There's ways for you to partner as a sponsor. There's ways for you to partner as an underwriter. Just go to VFNTV.com, and you'll see the torch on the right hand in the center of the page, and you'll be able to follow. It has some hands around the torch. Mm-hmm. That's your hands. That's our hands. That's all of us holding the torch together so that we can continue to keep the light in this dark world, and so that others can come and be informed and grow in the things of God. Listen, we can do this when we have our eyes focused on Jesus and on him alone, and when we have our ears attentive to his very word.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Landeth.
Welcome back. This is a year, like Franklin Graham is reminding us, that as American citizens, all of us have an obligation to get educated about our government,
right,
where we're going as a country, where we would like it to go as a country. We cannot blame where we are as a country on 530 folks. It's us sending them there. If we wanted to change, we can change all 530.
Mm-hmm.
That's how easy it would be. But to get educated, to spend time, just block some time, take some time, say, I'm going to spend this much time a week up until the primaries, which could be really soon. I know that in it's probably 30 days away in the Florida area, but it's different for every state. And say, I'm going to get to know the candidates. Believe me, they're calling you. They want to answer the phone and talk to you.
Visit their websites. Don't rely on just some 30-second news clip or something that's said by somebody else, but an opposing person who's running. You actually go to their website and get familiar with their policies and what their vision. Because what's interesting is that each candidate has a message and a vision, and in the process with that, you got to analyze and find out for yourself, is the vision that they want to put forward for America, is that anywhere in according to God's values, or is this something that's completely different or even against the Constitution?
And don't just check their website once, because they change so often. Check it often and find out, it's like they were thinking this way on the issue, but now they're thinking this way on the issue, and you kind of track how they're changing. But also that you have to participate. So one way that we do it, we get educated. We just don't call up Uncle Bobby, who watches some news channel, and you say, who are you voting for? And then you just go pull a lever, and you find out it was just a friend of his running that has total different values than you. They owe it to you. The person who's wanting to represent you, they owe you the time. And if they don't give you the time before they get in office, guaranteed you won't even know they exist once they get in office.
That's right.
And including senators, Congress, they're your representative. This is why when a Congress person, for example, a senator goes onto a United States Navy ship, you have all these captains and admirals and whoever on the ship, all these sailors on there. But you know what they do? As soon as a senator walks on the ship, the entire ship stops. They ring the bell and they say the United States is arriving.
Mm.
You know why? Because that's you arriving on that boat. That's your representative saying, I want to see what's happening on the ship. That's your man and your woman that represents you. And so wouldn't you want to know who's actually going to downsize and destroy our military versus upgrade and take care of our military? And then, once you vote, this is what Congressman Jeff Miller does, and quite a few. What is the room number that they the prayer room? I forget the name of the room. We'll make it available to you on the torch. But they actually go vote. And then they go to this particular room, Christian leaders do, and they pray after their vote, because they're only one vote.
Right.
But they pray asking God, dear God, end the funding of Planned Parenthood, for example, which they didn't recently.
But then once that's done, once you vote and once you pray, I mean, God sees that. That's like standing up with George Washington and say, I'll stand beside you with this ragtag army, mm-hmm. these people coming against this nation, and I'll fight with you. But we don't have to physically fight in America at this particular time. We just got to vote.
That's right.
So when you vote, that's how aggressive that is, to get educated, to meet the people who want to represent you and know them by their name and meet their spouse. Spouse tells a lot about, you know, a particular someone and their yeah. family. How's their family going? But then once they're there, stay in communication with them. But also now you have to participate in the process of government. Freedom only works when people know the laws and obey the laws. As a matter of fact, listen to Yale University as they talk about it. Take a look at this.
Some time ago, I had a conversation with a Marxist economist from China. He was coming to the end of a Fulbright fellowship here in Boston. But I asked him if he had learned anything that was surprising or unexpected. And without any hesitation, he said, yeah. I had no idea how critical religion is to the functioning of democracy. The reason why democracy works, he said, is not because the government was designed to oversee what everybody does, but rather democracy works because most people, most of the time, voluntarily choose to obey the law. And in your past, most Americans attended a church or a synagogue every week, and they were taught there by people who they respected. My friend went on to say that Americans followed these rules because they had come to believe that they weren't just accountable to society, they were accountable to God. My Chinese friend heightened a vague but nagging concern I've harbored inside that as religion loses its influence over the lives of Americans, what will happen to our democracy? Where are the institutions that are going to teach the next generation of Americans that they too need to voluntarily choose to obey the laws? Because if you take away religion, you can't hire enough police.
And it's interesting, you're seeing that obviously it's Harvard, but you can't, all of this thing works together. There's no, this freedom does not work if you don't participate.
This is not a spectator sport, right? You have to be engaged.
And a lot of people have been convinced by people who don't want this democracy as we know it. They say, don't worry about nothing. I think even one particular, the vice president said it one time, just learn how to play a guitar, you know, learn how to hobby, get yourself a hobby. And, you know, well, that's socialism. If I don't have to work, you know, and all of a sudden freedom start, you know, leaving us and going away. Freedom, you know, you have to be busy about freedom. One way to do that is to find out about your country, you know. And as a Christian, you know, when you think about what he's saying here, the professor from Harvard is, the reason why America works and worked like it did is because people had a fear of God. They would go to church and they would understand the teachings of God, and it made sense that people did what was right because they feared what would happen with them and God, not what would happen with them and the government, police or something like that. Right. People go, they're more worried about what the police is going to do, you know, than what, you know, how God's going to think about it. And it's like, you didn't do wrong if the police didn't catch you. And that's today. The day is, it's about that viewpoint. Absolutely. But if we want freedom, we're going to have to get in there and begin to understand, you know, read the Constitution. You know, we're going to be talking about our next program.
Get your pocket Constitution and read it. Be familiar with it and understand the original intent of our country, why it was founded, and what they were breaking free from. I mean, the Declaration of Independence, it wasn't just about, you know, taxes. It was 27 individualized reasons. Well-written.
Only one of which was taxation or representation, but 27 total.
27 total, right. And that gives you a clear understanding, you know, of why this country came about.
I think it's important because you think about this. We'll talk about this in our next program. Make sure you catch it, about the Fourth Amendment. But the technology and things that are unfolding, our Fourth Amendment rights are just have to be totally redefined again about how, because they're moving everything to a realm that's not constitutionally protected. They're moving so many things. Mm-hmm. You know, for example, if you have one of those phones you hear on a television commercial that says, listen, you know, for $9.99, you can get this phone and it comes over the internet and, you know, this type of thing is going, don't worry about it. But what you did when you left a actual physical landline with a wire running to your phone, and you went to the internet,
a VoIP type of phone,
voice over internet protocol is what it's called, but just that internet type phone, then you lost that. There's laws that are over that piece of wire that ran to your other phone, but they're still trying to figure out how they're going to, the laws over your conversations and what you're saying over this internet.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, you know, most of that stuff goes right to your internet service provider, and they know more about information about you, they say, than Google or Yahoo and these other companies. And with that, you know, what are they doing with that information? And if the government just knocks on your internet service provider's door and says, you know, hey, we want so-and-so's records or everybody's records, it's, you know, there is no constitutional...
Which they have already, AT&T.
Yeah. And there's no constitutional protection over a company just going, well, here's the phone records, which has all your pertinent information on it. And it's like, we're going into a realm that we have to begin to rediscuss. You know, what was the founding fathers' original intent of the United States Constitution? And when you talk to your people who want to represent you, they want your vote, you need to ask them, what do you think about the Constitution? And they go, well, you know, that doesn't concern me because I won't vote for that because I'm going to be a state senator. Or it matters. All these latitudes and longitudes of questions that you ask them, even if they may not vote on them, you got to say, I want to know how you're going to vote on it.
That's
if you had to vote on it, how would you vote on it? Because that tells me about you. And if you aren't willing to tell me how you're going to vote on it, I'm not willing to vote for you.
That's right.
Because what you're saying is you could do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You could do anything. You're trying to check the win out. But the thing about it, John, this is the year, like Franklin Graham is saying, if we'll pray and humble ourselves and get educated on who's running for office and, you know, vote, this whole country will shift. It'll begin to turn in the right direction. It takes a while to turn a ship. But if you don't turn at all, you know, it's going to be worse.
Yeah.
And I know we're fixing to go to a break, but I encourage you, you know, get involved, get educated, and plan to vote. 35% of registered Christians did not register to vote.
I believe so,
35%, according to Wall Builders, I believe it is. And that's a vote. If you don't vote, that's voting. God's going, you're the king. This is a nation by the people, for the people, we the people. You are the king. Everybody has that authority here. And you chose not to issue an edict and go, I vote for this person or vote for that person. So I encourage you. You know, I can't tell you the destiny of this country, but I can tell you that we will have to answer for the direction of this country if we did not participate or if we chose to vote money in our wallet or sin versus like, dear God, help us. We got to vote righteous, a righteous vote. Join us after the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
This Appeal to Heaven message. You know, God took me through a 12-year journey, 13-year journey, to give me this message. And when he finally succeeded in pulling it all together in me, it was such a undeniable, sovereign, God-initiated process. If my people, who are called by my name, will do these things, I'll heal their land. And he's never needed a majority. This is what I keep telling people. We don't have to get 51% of Americans doing this before God can move. He has always worked through a remnant. And we have that remnant. So we're going to pray and we're going to birth this and we're going to inspire. We're going to feed them what they need to hear. We're going to do it through the app. We're going to do it through this Appeal to Heaven tour. I hope we can touch millions with this message. I believe we can. And God's going to do the rest. He's going to light that fire in them, and they're going to say, I have hope. This is God. I'm going to do it. Well, you know, they ruled in the 1850s that slavery was here to stay, that the black man had no right. They ruled they weren't even a person. That was settled law. Aren't you glad somebody, Lincoln, others, rose up and said, now, wait a minute. I don't care if they did make this ruling. It's not settled law. That's not right, because it ain't over till God says it's over. And I don't care what they say about the unborn. I don't care what they say about marriage. It ain't over till God says it's over. It's not settled law. He says it's settled law. We're going to change these things. And when I realized this is, he has taken me back to our roots as a nation. And this movement that birthed the nation, a lot of people don't know that we were born under a prayer movement with a flag that said appeal to heaven. But we were. And why did it disappear? I don't really think it was the enemy. I kind of think God hid the flag because he knew, you know, I'm going to need to do this again.
Penton House Barbershop, where a man can be a man. Whether you're coming in for a haircut, a classic shave, or a relaxing massage, schedule your next appointment today. Take a load off, sit back and relax, and allow us to cater to you. We're expecting you, and you'll be glad that you did. Located in Pace, Florida, Penton House Barbershop, where you come first. To Hear Hearing Center, three locations to better serve you. What do you do?
At Ears to Hear, we improve the quality of life of the hearing impaired and their families by testing, fitting, and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Let me give you a personal invitation to come by and see us and let us improve your quality of life today.
Need a new garage door? Current garage door broken? Then look no further than the professionals at Precision Garage Door Service. Call today. We're open 24 hours, 7 days a week, and schedule an appointment with one of our skilled, professional, and courteous technicians. It is our pleasure to serve all of your garage door needs. Whether residential or commercial, make Precision Garage Door Service your first choice.
With the rising cost of everything nowadays, AllPro Tune-Up guarantees you quality repairs at a fair price. We promise to be upfront and honest with every estimate we provide. We service domestic and foreign-built cars, light trucks and SUVs, and are experienced with diesel, gas, and hybrid models. Our technicians utilize the latest in diagnostic testing and techniques, making our services second to none.
We want to earn your business and keep your trust. AllPro Tune-Up, automotive repair you can count on.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I tell you what, this is so exciting because of being able to have a conversation about a light perspective of things. Because quite often you're just hearing, you know, facts cranked out when you think about media and you think about news. But I think about prophetic words given by many people. One is Rick Joyner talking about that, you know, God is going to raise up, you know, men and women in media that's going to just tell it like it is, and they're going to be able to speak prophetically. And what's so cool, when we heard that word, it's like, man, that's exactly what God is doing. You know, I had a chance to thank him when Pat Hamilton and I were up there at the Morningstar conference that they had on the summit. Mm-hmm. And it was just cool to see, you know, these things coming to pass. Again, you know, originally at one time, it was kind of a normal thing. But the more you study history, though, you're thinking like, men have always been corrupt. It's just a different corruption. You're looking back at a president, a particular president right now, top of my head. But but you think about politics and then you think about war. War is what used to happen to be able to change power. When you hear people say, we just changed a leadership of a country without any bloodshed. That's serious because historically, that's how Castro got in power. You know, that's how Assad, the president of Syria, got in power by, you know, bloodshed, or staying in power at least. But America, the unique thing about America is the grace of God. You know, God did shed his grace on us that we can have dramatic change. And there is all kinds of debating. I mean, Christians need to be open to having deep conversations about things. I mean, even learn how to argue both sides of an argument. Absolutely. So that you can kind of get the viewpoints and have some understanding, because we all know in part and we prophesy in part.
And sometimes God is putting a Cyrus, for example, in a place because that's the person who's going to take things to the new level.
Yeah. I think it's important, too, that when voting, that look for a candidate that's willing to work with you because it's we the people. We can't possibly think that one person could have all the answers and could one person change the whole direction and course of a nation. Right. It's all of us together working together. And so we don't want to, you know, throw off our responsibilities as a citizen and say, we're going to select this one person to fix everything.
It's impossible.
It's impossible.
But you can actually vote for all of your representative government who's going to represent you from your school board to your county commissioner to your city council, all the way up from your state government, governors, all the way up to your senator and your congressperson in Washington, D.C., to your president. I mean, you can actually change all that, and then you can say to all of them, we put you in there, now work together.
That's right.
But if you take the other angle that you're talking about, then all you're going to have is just like factions and things not working. Now, in fact, now if it's going in the wrong direction and it's taking unconstitutional turns and turning away from the original intent of this nation, sometimes it takes one particular person that just stands up and says, you know, I am not budging. This is I committed to my constituents that, you know, that this is I believe in the Constitution. I think we should stay within the laws and that we're not going to turn our backs on God. And if they're alone, and there has been recently, you know, senators that have stood alone and just saying, this is just not right.
And what's amazing that those that stand, the thing that those that stand alone could be seen as troublemakers. They change the narrative and say, this person is standing for what is Constitution, persons, whoever that, you know, may be, but they're standing for Constitution. And today, If they look for other reasons to break down the Constitution, fear is a really big thing right now. If they can scare you with, you know, terrorists and they need to gather information, that means weakening, you know, of the Constitution, and we have no privacy.
When you think about this, if you don't believe that there's times that you got to just stand alone, then you're missing Jesus and what he did.
Yeah.
Because he stood alone. There was a season he was alone on this earth. Is standing alone, and as he began to move forward in what the Father had called him to do, he had more against him than for him.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was in leadership. They weren't for him.
Yeah.
All the government was for him, you know, the Senate of that day and the Congress of that day and the political parties of that day and the religious leaders of that day, and they weren't for him.
Mm-mm.
But you know what? He was absolutely 175% right. I mean, he was right. He was right. Even though he was alone, he stood and did everything the Father required him to do. And so many people today are thinking like, hey, if you stand alone, then you're just causing problems. And it's like, hey, I'm not going to turn my back on God.
That's right.
And of course, people began to follow him. But when it came time to the cross and paying the price, he was alone.
Yeah.
He was alone on the cross. Even the very ones that his supporters that was with him, right? You know, and you know, Peter said, I would never leave you, you know, and of course, it was part of fulfillment of prophecy. But as soon as the shepherd was struck, that everybody fled, including the very disciples that walked with him, that the foundations of heaven is going to contain their name, which is very good in understanding the love and the mercy and the forgiveness of God. You know, if you failed, if you made a mistake, and even if you're a leader and you're thinking, man, I went and had coffee with so-and-so. You know, and they've taught me to be in agreement with them. We haven't even voted yet. Now they're not going to, it's going to cause all these factions. Just repent and go, listen, I should not have had that coffee with you. You finagled me into that agreement. And I remember one particular meeting. I don't know if it was Pat and me or whoever it was, but we were in this meeting and these people were gathered in this particular meeting and great friends and all that. But I was realizing that the leader of this meeting was taking things in the wrong direction. I mean, it was so wrong. And I finally had to say, listen, you know, are you guys still going to love me when I leave? Because I'm getting out of here. I cannot stay for this because, you know, what's going on here is not right. It's just not right. And of course, they're like, yeah. Well, in that group that was there, the really good people, and because they stayed in that thing that seemed good, one of them ended up in jail. A good man.
Wow.
A very good man doing a very good thing. But because of that leader of that particular thing, you know, and quite often every bit of this has to do with money. If somebody's promising you money, even if you feel like you've got a good cause, somebody says, I want to fund your cause, that's money. And the thing about it, you can't sell out your values for money. It's better to be broke and right than to have a lot of money and be in jail because you're broke.
That's right.
Your attorney has the money then.
Yeah.
So there's times when you have to stand alone. I remember when Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu a few months ago stood before Congress, and he said in front of everybody, you know, if Israel has to stand alone, we'll stand alone.
Yeah.
And it's sad to say what we're seeing Israel have to stand alone. And we thought that day would never come. I mean, didn't you think at one time, you know, America will always be standing with Israel? Yeah. And I believe if we do what God is telling us to do in 2016, if we listen to what God's saying through Franklin Graham and Lou Engle and you know, prophetic words that are going forth and get educated and who's going and vote the fear of the Lord. Don't vote. Don't say, hey, this person's going to get me a good job. Isn't it better to have a country that you can go get a job in later than to vote for your job, and then we lose the country?
Listen, during in Germany, they had plenty of money in the Weimar Republic.
Oh, yeah.
They had plenty of pieces of paper, but yeah, it was worthless.
It was worthless.
You don't want pieces of paper. You want a country.
Yeah, and they took the money. The kids took the money, and imagine bundles of money, and they would just build with it building
houses,
blocks.
Yeah.
Building houses. They would pay people in the Weimar Republic in Germany after World War I. They'd pay them with the money, and they would say, listen, I want to be, if you hire me on Monday, I want to be paid on Monday, because if I work with you all week, the money, that value of that money on Monday would be totally lost by Friday. That's where we're going if we don't repent as a nation. And one way we repent as an American, imagine if you were a king. The way that you repent is start leading your country right, because you're a king. Well, in America, it's a government, we the people. It's not the 530 in Washington, D.C. It's us.
Yeah.
We have to get educated. We have to, in regards to who's running, and find out who they are and find, you know, character witnesses that can vouch for them.
Take Jesus to the ballot box with you, you know. Vote godly principles and values. So does that really matter? Well, the Bible says that righteousness exalts a nation, not the economy. It's righteousness. And so you have to really know where you lie in all of this.
And don't just get caught up in that thing, I'm just going to vote everybody out. No, you have to be educated about who's actually in. Maybe that's the one that you wanted in.
Mm-hmm.
Now we got to bring other people to be around him or her in that. I want to pray. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for America, the freedom that we have here, Lord God. You're so good to us, Father God. And I just pray even now, Lord God, that you would show us how to get educated in the who is going to be running for office to represent us. Lord, we pray for a fear of the Lord to fall upon all of us in your church to say, you know, I'm going to get educated. I'm going to vote, Lord. And we pray for godly leaders to rise up and say, you know, I will represent my community. You know, I will do that. Lord, we just thank you for Franklin Graham and what he's doing to each particular capital of the state, of the capital in each state in this country. And I pray, Lord, this would be the year, Lord God, that things shift back to your original sin of this nation, God. And I ask you, Lord, I ask you, dear God, end abortion. Send revival. Send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, God. Thank you so much for joining us. And don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com for more.
Whether you've been in an accident or looking to paint your car, trust the experts at Maaco, where experience, expertise, and customer service still matter. Great work for a great price. Call, visit us online, or come on in for a quote today. Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, now with two locations to better serve your needs. Downtown and off 9th Avenue in Pensacola, Florida. Visit or call to learn more about self-defense. Don't be a victim. Visit Copy Products today with 5 locations on the Gulf Coast to better serve you. They can help you with all of your copying and scanning needs. Copy machines, fax machines, scanners, printers, shredders, and so much more. Contact them today at 850-432-1580. We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
VFN TV and the daily VFN radio.